This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ.
I have a friend who calls me every Saturday. Well, actually, I've got three people that are friends of mine that call me every Saturday, but this one in particular, every time when I answer the phone, this is how he starts the conversation. I've got a question I want to ask you. And I've noticed that he never gets around to asking me the question. We began to talk about other things, but every Saturday, I have a question I want to ask you. Well, I'm asked a lot of questions, and people have lots of questions. Is the earth round? Is the earth flat? Are we going to have a World War III? Are we going to have a depression? You know, can men go to the moon? Can men go to Mars? Can they go out other places in outer space? Well, you see, those are questions that people have on their minds. But there are a lot of questions that we ask that are very serious because they pertain to our soul's eternal destiny. That's the most important type question, you see. Well, where are we going to be 10,000 years from now? That's a question. Well, the answer to that question depends upon the decisions that I make. But I can consult God and get answers from God on that. But the fact is, we don't know it all. There's no one person, no preacher that knows everything. Someone has said, till the swallows shall drink the oceans dry, the truths of God shall never be exhausted. We'll never know everything, and we'll never know all the answers to all the questions that people ask. But I don't know of a question that I don't want to know the answer to. So today we're going to continue to talk about the theme, Got Questions? Well, let's ask God. Now, this is Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we're so happy to have you watching today. I hope that you'll stay tuned as we discuss this topic today. Now, another feature of our telecast is that we're offering a free Bible correspondence course, absolutely free to you. And we want you to have it that you might know more about the course, how you can receive it. We're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I hope that you will take the opportunity to call for the Bible course that's just been mentioned to you, and that if you don't want to receive it through the mail, then you can take it online. We just want you to learn more about the Bible. That's the reason we have called our telecast Getting to Know Your Bible. It's not named after me. It's not named after some other person. But we are interested in studying the Bible. What does the Bible say? And today we're going to be discussing some questions, hopefully more than one today, and if not, we'll just go on to another question at another time. But today we're going to be talking about a question that is asked sometimes, and we want to ask God for the answer to that question. I know if God answers it, that is right. Now, We want to take the Bible now, and we want to read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, and verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You see, the law had been revealed. It had been given to the people. Now, there were things that God did not put in the Old Testament law. And they just, those things belong to God. The secret things he said belong to God. Things that are revealed belong to us. This is Moses speaking. Moses writing this when he was at the close of his life. And he's going back and solidifying these people before he leaves the scene. Now today, there are certain things that we cannot know from the Bible, because the Bible has nothing to say about it. Now, God knows the answer, but God hasn't revealed that answer. But everything that God has revealed, I need to know and I want to know. All Scripture, you see, is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you see, God has the answer. God has the answer for everything that we need to live a good life. We have been completely, thoroughly, thoroughly furnished for everything that we need now and hereafter. That's the reason Peter said that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness, to live now and to get prepared for eternity. See, so God has revealed things that we need to know. Now here's our question today. What is the new birth? What is the new birth? Now we're going to let God answer the question. If we were to allow men to answer the question, they would come up with all kinds of answers to that question. But if we stick with God, I know that that has to be right. I want God's answer above that of anyone else. Let God be true. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and every man a liar. And so I know when God says a thing, that it's right, and we can know the truth, Jesus said. I know we're living in a day of pluralism where people say that you have your way of thinking, I have my way of thinking, you have your truth, I have my truth, I have my set of values, you have your set of values, and that is a divide in this nation. And it has caused a division in this country from one end to the other in every aspect of our lives. But we can know what is true. Jesus said that, ye shall know the truth. So what is the truth about the new birth? What did God say about it? Well, I direct your attention now to the Gospel of John, the third chapter of John's Gospel, starting in verse number 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that means teacher, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Think about that. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now that's the teaching from John's Gospel about the new birth. So what can we learn from it? First of all, I want to start with the last verse I just read. He says, You must be born again. I take from this that being born again is not a suggestion. It is not just an idea. It is an imperative thing one must do. Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, if we go back to the first verse, we find that here was a man, he was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. He was one of the rulers of the Jews. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Some think Nicodemus came by night because he might have not wanted people to see him associating with Jesus in the daytime. I don't know. I'm not going to impugn his reason for coming by night. It may be that he was so busy being a ruler in the daytime, the only time he had to come was at night. I don't know. But he came, and this is what he said to Jesus in verse 2. We know you're a teacher, and we know God sent you as a teacher, because there's no one, there is absolutely no one that can do these miracles you're doing unless God is with him. Now, there was a reason Jesus performed these miracles. If we turn over to John, the 20th chapter, and we learn in a couple of passages there why Jesus performed these miracles. And it wasn't to take up a collection. It wasn't to be famous. Jesus performed miracles for the purpose of causing people to believe in him. Look at verses 30 and 31 of John chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. That is, these signs, these miracles are recorded. Why are they recorded? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So Jesus did perform miracles. Nicodemus acknowledged that. And the purpose of Jesus' miracles wasn't just to cause the blind to see, the dead to arise, and the lame to walk, and the hungry to be fed. No. Those things were done. Surely he performed miracles. But the reason he did that was that people might believe. And obviously those miracles have had an effect on Nicodemus. And then Jesus answered Nicodemus by saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now I understand fully why Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born again, verse 5, to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again to go to heaven. So you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus asked him, this is in verse 6, he said, where Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is of flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's verse 6. Now, verse 4, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Now, you would think a grown man would know better than ask a question like that, because a man can't be born fleshly after he's already been born and is a grown individual. How can a man be born when he is old? And he asks a question that's to which there is absolutely no sensible answer. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered him, and he gave one answer for time and eternity. Now, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, listen to him, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to go to heaven, you have to be born again. And there are many sermons that have been preached about the new birth. And all one is told in some of these sermons is that you must be born again. But there are two elements that are mentioned in this new birth. We need all of what God says. See, we're letting God answer the question, not a preacher. I'm just God's vessel. I'm just God's instrument trying to deliver God's message to you. Now go back to verse 5. Except a man be born of water. Born of water. Many years ago, as a matter of fact, it's probably about in the latter part of the 1970s or 80s, I was teaching a class on the Gospels for what was then called Alabama Christian College, now called Faulkner University. I was teaching at an extension they had in Mobile, Alabama. The people in my class were, I think there was one or two people in the class that were members of the Church of Christ. All the others were just like getting people off the street. Some of them weren't affiliated with churches of any kind, and some of them might have been affiliated with the church, but I was in there just to teach the Gospels. And when we read this, one of the men in the class raised his hand, and I said, "Yes, you have a question?" And this man was not a member of the Church of Christ, but this is a question. He said, when Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water," it sounds like Jesus is saying that you must be baptized. I said, now that's a good observation. For in fact, this is what Jesus is teaching. But let's go on. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now let's go to verse 6 that I mentioned earlier. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. If a baby is born, that baby came from a fleshly body, came out of its mother's womb. But that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual in nature. Sometimes people will take the word water and they say, well, that's talking about when a mother is born and there's the fluid that comes, that's when the baby is born. Jesus is not talking about a fleshly birth. And if that's what we're thinking today, we're confused like Nicodemus was confused. He was confusing a fleshly birth with a spiritual birth. And the spiritual birth involved water in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Well, someone says, well, how is the Holy Spirit involved? Well, let me read you a passage from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, in a fleshly birth, there is a seed that is involved. That's the seed of man. There's the sperm of man and the egg of the woman. There's a seed. From that seed there comes forth a child. And there's a seed involved in the spiritual birth. And that seed is the Word of God. And when that seed is planted in an honest and good heart, it brings forth fruit. It produces faith in that heart. We have to be born of water and born of the Spirit. And if someone says, well, what is water? Well, what does water mean in John chapter 3 and verse number 5? Well, let's look at some other passages. Turn in your Bible to the 10th chapter of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius had been at the household of Peter had been at the household of Cornelius. And he preached the gospel to Cornelius in his household. And Cornelius believed what he had been taught. And so the question is asked by Peter in verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized. And it is implied or suggested the element in which they were baptized was water, because he asked, can any man forbid water? And it takes lots of water when an individual is baptized. When John the Baptist was baptizing, John was baptizing where there was lots of water. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is the same chapter in which Jesus said you had to be born of water and the Spirit. John was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. And so John was baptizing. Why was he baptizing here? Because there was enough water there to baptize a person. There was enough water to immerse a person or to bury an individual in baptism. You see, baptism does not involve sprinkling or pouring, but rather it involves an immersion in water. Listen to your Bible in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So you see, baptism is a burial in water. That's why it takes much water. And so Jesus said, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I've often believed, and I've long believed, as a matter of fact, that the Bible explains itself better than any person can. Now take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Galatians, the third chapter, and verses 26 and 27. I believe these passages are a divine commentary on John chapter 3, verse 5. Now remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man must be born of water and he must be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom. You have to be born again to get into the family of God, to have God as your Father. You know, 1 John 3 and 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. But you cannot be God's child until you're in the family of God, have been born into that family. And Jesus said you must be born again. Now I'm reading for Galatians, the third chapter, verse 26. For you're all the children of God. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Becoming a child of God. You're all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. We're children of God by faith. In faith in whom? By our faith in Christ. And then verse 27. How, I'm going to ask a question and let God answer it. How does one get into Christ if we're children of God, that is in God's family, heaven is our Father, being born again? If we're children of God by faith in Christ, how does one get into Christ? Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized, immersed, buried in baptism, into Christ, have put on Christ. When you're baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Now, Jesus said you had to be born of water and the Spirit. Paul wrote to the Galatians, to be in the family of God, you have to be, as a believer, you have to be baptized into Christ. Remember, Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believe one, baptize two, save number three. Someone says, well, I thought all you had to do, Brother Lambert, is say a sinner's prayer and that you'd be saved. But now we're letting God answer the question. This is a phenomenon that men started maybe nearly 100 years ago. in religion. Say it repeating a sinner's prayer. But what does God say? Let's ask God and let God give us the answer. And God said, you must be born again. To be born again, you must be born of water and the Spirit. That seed is implanted in your heart. It produces faith. And we've become children of God by faith in Christ, and we're baptized into Christ. If you have never experienced the new birth, let me urge you to give serious thought to it. And you become, as a believer in Jesus, allow some servant of God to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins, that your sins be washed away in the blood of Jesus. There's no power in the water. The power's in the blood. But we'll contact that blood when we're baptized into the benefits of Jesus' death. He shed that blood for the remission of sins. And He shed that blood to wash away our sins. Revelation 1:5, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. But when does that blood wash away our sins? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the act of washing away sin, or the benefit of the washing away of sins, comes after the act of baptism, not before it. We're not saved and then baptized. We're baptized, then we're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we become a new babe in Jesus, we're to feed our souls. That's not just enough to be baptized. We must grow as a child of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, right after Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 said, being born again, in verse 2 of chapter 2, he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'd encourage you to call today for the free Bible course so that you can grow in wisdom and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for watching today. Till we meet again, may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.